You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to Inside My Victory, a podcast about the church, leadership, and creativity. I'm Pastor Gene.
And I'm Pastor Kelly. And you can follow along with the notes we provided for you at my website, kellystickle.com.
And when you have questions, and you will have questions, please email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yeah, I'd highly encourage each leader or pastor to email us your questions that are specific to your situations, and we would love to take it on and discuss it more. Again, you can email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Today, we're continuing to talk about the release of your audio book version of Minecraft. You know, one of the most powerful chapters I found was entitled, He Is. Mm. And in this section, you talk about in Scripture that God has to prepare a leader's heart before he can use that leader to do exploits.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you go through all of the leaders in the Bible, and each one of them, you look at God had to take Abraham for a walk and re-envision for Abraham what his future could be, because Abraham didn't see it. So he said, look at the stars, look at the sand. He had to envision that. He had to say to Gideon, hey, you might call him mighty man of valor. Had to change his thinking. He had to give Joseph a dream in order to see it, to change. You go through all the scriptures, God really had to do a change the heart of a leader before he could do the miracle.
You talk about in that particular chapter about self-description, self-image, limitations, and excuses. I think it's just so appropriate. Let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, our self-descriptions, let's start there. Our self-descriptions are things that we say about ourselves knowingly or unknowingly. So there's often times where we will say things, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm unqualified, I'm overwhelmed, I'm afraid, I'm stuck, I'm not good enough. I mean, there's a lot of things that we'll just say.
I've never said those, but I'm good that out. You know, good for you to get that out.
Those things are, we'll say those flippantly, and not realizing that those self-descriptions really, they're really quite deadly. Mm-hmm. And Moses had some negative descriptions. and God had to change those self-descriptions, those negative self-descriptions about himself. He's like, I can't, I'm unable, I stutter. He had all of these different self-descriptions that he had as to reasons to why that he had convinced himself. He wasn't, he convinced himself so much, he was trying to convince God, who is just in a burning bush in front of him, and he's trying to convince him, you got the wrong guy. I mean, you think of how crazy that is. God showed up of anybody on the entire planet in a burning bush in front of you, and you're going to give him the excuses as to why you can't do it. And this is, but every one of us would probably do the same thing.
Moses had been out of his comfort zone for 40 years. I mean, he was really out there.
What I love about God's response to that is God's response was, I am, which is amazing, because usually you'd fill in the blank there, I am, and give the description. Yeah. But God said simply, my name is I am. And this is the first time he ever said it to any human being, and he revealed himself as what we now know as Yahweh and Jehovah. But first time he ever said it, he said, I am. And I believe it's because Moses had these self-descriptions. And he says, okay, Moses, you recognize you lack. I get that. But whatever you lack, I am.
I am. And that's one of the chapters entitled, He Is.
He is. That's why it's entitled, He Is. Our self-descriptions, if we leave them unchecked, lead to a negative self-image.
Right.
So, and our self-image is primarily shaped by how we see ourselves or how we talk of ourselves, but it's also shaped by how others see and describe us. And this is often, negatively affected, by us and our self-image, especially in today's world of social media, and where it's so easy to go on to Instagram or to Facebook and to see how amazing you honored your wife at Mother's Day or her birthday and all the rest of it. And then I'm going, well, I'm not that good a husband. I didn't do as good a job. And then all of a sudden I start comparing. And then my self-image goes down because we get into this this comparison trap where we compare somebody's highlight reel to our behind the scenes, and we're wondering why we've got a negative self-image. So, but our negative self-image leads us then to a negative persona, where a persona is typically, you know, another limitation that we place on ourselves, where we have some self-bad descriptions, we say them enough to become a negative self-image. And then if left unchecked again, we build this persona from that negative self-image where we start pretending we're the opposite or we're something else than what we're doing. And we kind of go overboard with somebody, and we recognize in somebody else, somebody's overconfident. Yeah. And they've created this confident persona which really is masking their insecurity, or somebody is over.
It's more an outside thing.
Yeah.
It's not inside.
And there's something not genuine or authentic there.
Not
and we
connecting.
Create these personas and we overcompensate and put on a false front. And God cannot bless what you pretend to be.
So true.
You got to get to who you really are. And then that leads into the fourth limitation, which is excuses.
Excuses.
And excuses are really comforting.
They are. They kind of pad us, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of,
they're like, okay, like, well, this is why I'm not this, or this is why. But it's a false comfort. And excuses really remove the power to change, and excuses really put success out of reach.
Yes.
And so that's why we wrote this chapter, and I was like, okay, this is the traps that I've fallen into, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. And these are things that if we let these things spiral out of advance, it builds really strong fence lines around our lives and limits, not just limits what we can do, but it limits what God can do in and through us.
Excuses are very deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another chapter that I really liked also, you really dug into this idea of tiredness of body versus weariness of the mind. I think that's so healthy to see the difference in those two things. So,
yes.
What's your insights there, and break it down for us?
Yeah, well, the insight is from 1 Samuel 30, where the story of David and his men, that, you know, the band that were with him is before he became king, and they were out raiding one day, and then they come home to Ziklag, and they've discovered that their entire camp had been raided while they were away, and their wives and their children and all of their wealth and their belongings They've been out fighting.
Yeah.
And so the 600 of them, you know, decide to pursue, and they get a little ways, and there's a group of them that are too tired to go on. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, as I read that story, I was like, that is shocking. I mean, how tired do you have to be to not pursue, you know, getting your wife back or getting your children back? I mean, you have to be really exhausted. And why these guys have been fighting right alongside everybody else, and why were these guys too exhausted to go on, but the rest didn't? And that's where I think it came to this comparison of, you know, tiredness of the body is different than weariness of the mind. And sometimes if we give in to the tiredness, we allow weariness to come into our mind, we will quit. We will give up. But it's amazing how much further the body can go when it's tired. How much we can push, and that really, you know, most of us give up because of the weariness that's in us, not the tiredness. We all work hard. We all, you know, we all can get tired, but weariness is the deadly part of it. So, you know, that's why I think Paul said in Galatians, you know, 6:9, that, you know, do not grow weary. He didn't say don't grow tired in doing good, because you're gonna.
We're
all going to get tired in doing good. But he says, don't grow weary. That was his warning. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest. Then he says this, if we don't give up. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times we miss our breakthrough. We miss the thing because we're not just tired of the fight, but we're weary of the fight. And there's we lose something in our mind. And we give up. That's why I like having a coach when we work with me in the gym, is because my body feels like it's done. And a coach will push you beyond what you physically feel you're able to do, because they will push that weariness out, and they will show you that your body can often go way beyond the tiredness part of it. So,
that
scripture is really powerful in Galatians, where, you know, don't give up, because then he says, you know, you're going to reap a harvest. So in other words, if you keep on going and don't allow weariness to stop you, there's a reward for pushing through. And so we can't afford to give up.
No, we cannot. And I think that's true for ministry. It's also true for businesses. It's also true for anyone in any organization.
Yeah.
You don't know how close you are to that breakthrough.
That's so true.
So just keep
going. And in the church world, we can't afford to give up. I mean, we have to keep doing, you know, the good work, because the church is the hope of the world, and we are on a mission
to reach every available person
at every available time
by every available means
with the gospel of Jesus Christ,
by creating churches
unchurched people love to attend.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church leadership and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.